today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Derek and Eric here. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, I've got a two-pack of stories for you, and yeah. I know you love sports. You're such an enthusiastic sports
this
fan.
This isn't even a sports story. Big boxing fan that you are.
This is true. Yeah, the sweet science, as they say. Yeah. This is actually a serious story, and it's one that has been percolating for a while. So George Foreman has now filed a countersuit against the woman who accused him of sexual abuse while she was a minor at the time. So there was a story that we broke a little while ago about a woman who went by Gwen H. She says that George Foreman knew her father quite well. Her father and George worked together. I believe he was a promoter or a manager. She was the daughter of that promoter, and she had a story that George sort of abused her while she was a youth. When she was 14 years old, he sort of groomed her in some sense, brought her in, and sexually abused her.
And told her basically, like, I'm going to not work with your dad, basically end his career,
that's
unless
right.
you do these things.
There was an allegation that he made a threat to fire her father if she didn't capitulate to his sexual demands. Well, George, at the time we broke the story, told us this is an outright lie. And, you know, it's a common response to say this is simply untrue. Yeah. This is his reputation on the line. George Foreman is sort of a beloved figure. He was a vicious boxer, a guy who, like, you know, battled in the ring with Muhammad Ali and all the greats. But outside of the ring,
he's
a cuddly guy.
He's the Foreman Grill guy. He's got his 18,000 children named George. Like,
that's right. And you know, he's smiley on television. I've had infomercials with grills.
He's a beloved
so forth.
Personality.
A beloved figure. Well, so he said, I deny this, and this woman actually tried to extort me. We sometimes hear this and then never hear again of the response until the lawsuit plays out and there's a settlement down the line.
Right.
It's often just to blunt the impact. George actually filed a countersuit. So this is where I take it a little bit more seriously. He went into court, and rather than just file an answer to her allegations saying denial, he is now suing her as well. And he's suing her for defamation and intentional infliction of emotional distress. And here's why this is a defamation lawsuit. Ordinarily, Eric, when you sue someone and say, he sexually abused me, and you write those allegations in a lawsuit, you can't be sued for defamation simply for making the allegation.
Right.
We don't want people to not have an ability to make an allegation in a lawsuit without facing defamation. So everything within the four corners of that document, you can't be sued for defamation. This woman, however, went and did a press conference. So after the lawsuit's filed, she goes and sort of talks about this openly, and he says those statements are not in the lawsuit. This is all this color and narrative is outside of the lawsuit, and if it's a lie and it's hurting my reputation, I can sue you over it. And that's exactly what he's doing. So he is saying the allegations made during the press conference defamed me, and they caused me sleeplessness, anxiety, so forth. And I'm suing you over them. So he has now put his money where his mouth is. He's now filed his own document saying this is an entire fabrication.
Right.
None of this happened. And she tried to extort me for $12 million not to file the lawsuit. So all of a sudden, she's now on the defensive, and we've got a real lawsuit here.
Yeah, and this case, this is the problem you see for both sides of this. So this was 45 years ago. And he's like, well, she has no proof of this. There's no photographic evidence, no documents. Obviously, there were no text messages or anything back then.
Sure.
I mean, so let's say for a second that it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world could she prove it? She can't.
Very difficult.
There's no way she could really prove that. But say she is just trying to extort him and it didn't happen. Well, then, yeah, he has to sue her because that is very damaging to him, especially if he did nothing.
You're right. It's 45 years old, and this is why statute of limitations, which people say, oh, that's not fair, it's just old, but it could still be true. They say those exist in the law because memories fade, evidence fades. You need to bring lawsuits when they're fresh and you have access to evidence that is still good and witnesses who are still available to actually prove claims.
For everything but murder, because in murder, you always there's a dead body.
You've always got a body. And you can have forensic evidence, but evidence does decay over time.
Sure.
So you want lawsuits brought in a timely fashion. Also, you don't want a sword hanging over someone for 45 years. So George is saying it's an entire fabrication. She's saying otherwise. What this is going to come down to, assuming it survives statute of limitations, which, you know, serious crimes like murder and sexual crimes often do.
Well, this is just
going to be a battle of credibility.
It's just a civil suit, right?
She's suing. It is a civil suit.
Because he's not going to be arrested for this, right?
No. But she is suing. I want to put this in a little bit of context. The fact that she asked for a monetary settlement before the lawsuit was filed doesn't necessarily mean extortion. It just doesn't. Now,
it looks bad to a jury.
It looks very bad to a jury. And that's why he wants to put it front and center and say, look, she clearly has a financial motive for making these allegations, and you should question the veracity of what she's saying. It doesn't mean what she's saying is untrue. She could say, look, this is going to be embarrassing for you. It did happen a long time ago, and I'm willing to not put this out there if you acknowledge these allegations and make me whole because I did suffer damages. That's okay. You can have a lawyer send that letter without right. extortion. You have to be careful about it. But he's certainly going to frame it like she tried to shake me down.
Yeah.
And that's what this will come down to is a battle of credibility because you're right. The evidence is all gone. It's 45 years
old. And asking for money doesn't necessarily mean it didn't happen. But if she did reach out to him in some sort of way for this $12 million, there's got to be some proof of that. Like, you know, a communication from her to him. So then he can probably prove that. Look, she tried to extort this.
That's right.
Like,
and if she got a lawyer to do it for her, it might be okay. She may be able to beat back the allegation that it's an extortionate letter. Lawyers know how to draft letters looking for a pre-filing settlement. Yeah, this is a very common thing. Now, she did it herself and said, pay me the money or else, and clipped out magazine letters or something. It's going to look bad. But if she lawyered up and said, I want to take this seriously, I want to present him with an option to not have this filed, it could be okay. I just don't want everyone to jump to the conclusion that just because someone asked for money, that means they're lying about their allegation. It does not mean that. I do think she's going to have a tough time now. She's made a situation for herself where she's battling against one of the most beloved figures in sports, the smiley George Foreman. In court, he is going to sound very credible in a certain sense, and she's going to look money hungry. So this is going to be a difficult case for her.
But him being beloved, I mean, who is more beloved than Bill Cosby?
Sure.
I mean, for decades, he was like America's dad.
That's right.
I think that was partly the number of women, the allegations. And a lot of that could be corroborated. People are like, yeah, I was in this hotel at this night or at whatever.
It's a big difference, though. Is the difference.
That's what I'm saying. There's a difference
accusers.
There. This, yeah. I think ultimately it's just going to come down to who you believe. It is the old he said, she said.
Now, if people come out of the woodwork and it becomes a Cosby-like situation where George Foreman was a serial predator, you're in a totally different boat because then he's beating off a bunch of allegations. Even if one of them is not credible, it starts to look like he's.
If nothing else, public perception.
Public perception will change.
That's why he's suing her. It's like this, you know, it's the defamation. Like, you're making me look bad. You're damaging my brand. And as of now, I don't know. I don't know if this hurts him with people who like him. I don't think that it does. I think people who love George Foreman will believe him the same way lots of people still believe Bill Cosby.
Although there's a wholesomeness to his image, and selling grills is harder to do when you're accused of sexual abuse. He's not a fighter anymore. He's not someone who can get in the ring. I think, you know, Mike Tyson for years weathered allegations of rape and very serious violence.
It wasn't allegations.
Yeah, that's true. He was convicted of rape.
Yeah, he was convicted of it.
But he was able to weather that because he was in such a vicious sport, and everyone said, yeah, he's a monster, but we love to watch this monster fight. That's not true with George anymore. George has got to go on and smile and sell grills that are angled to drain fat. You know, that's a different market.
Well, and he's got to sell them through outlets that might not be willing to carry them anymore.
That's
right. Oh, this is just a little.
Yeah, you're a little radioactive.
We're
going to
stay away, which is another reason why he'd be suing her, because then she's costing him money if he didn't do anything.
Yeah, look, he's in an existential threat for his reputation. This is a real problem that he has to manage, and he's doing what he can, and he lawyered up. He's got very good lawyers. Kinsella Weitzman is a very good law firm, so he's in good hands. Whether he'll be able to move past this, I think this will move towards a pretty quick settlement. Look, suing her for defamation and saying he has suffered these harms, it's unlikely he'll be able to collect on that sort of
judgment.
I don't
think that's what he's going for.
That's not what he's doing. He's creating a public assault on her to make sure that his reputation is saved. He doesn't necessarily think he's going to collect.
No. And not that George Foreman's like near death or anything, but he's older. And at that point, you've got to think about what your legacy is going to be. Like, as of now, he's regarded as one of the all-time great boxers who became this beloved figure who also was a very savvy businessman. Those grills, you know, we can laugh, but he made a ton of money off of those. They were revolutionary.
Yeah.
You want to be remembered for that, not for maybe molesting a 14-year-old 45 years ago. If it didn't happen, then he has to lawyer up and sue.
This is a perfect segue, Eric. We rarely have a perfect segue, but this is an episode about reputations. And as you said, George Foreman is facing a very serious threat to his reputation, but he's also in the final, you know, sort of, you know, he's older. He's in the last sort of
his reputation
lap
is
of
already
life.
Set.
His reputation
just
is set.
It.
He is what he is. And he will survive this one way or another, whether he has grills to sell or not. Someone who's in the latter stages of the prime of their career, making a misstep. We're going to talk about that next. Let's talk about, tell me about what is happening with Beyonce in Dubai.
Beyonce performed in Dubai for $24 million for the Atlantis Resort. And a lot of people...
$24 million is a lot of money for a 90-minute performance.
It is a lot of money, but also Beyonce is not someone who needs $24 million. It's nice.
She and Jay combined over $1 billion.
Yeah, they have so much money. Like, $24 million is a lot of money. Excuse me. But
barely... the needle for billionaires.
But she doesn't have to do things she does not want to do for $24 million.
That's right.
So people are very upset because Dubai is very anti-LGBTQ. It's illegal to be gay openly mm-hmm. in Dubai. And especially with her new album, Renaissance, is sort of, you know, she said it was a tribute to a gay uncle. And it's very much about the gay ballroom scene and the club scene in the 70s and 80s and 90s.
Yes.
That's what the whole album's built around.
A large segment of her fan base, would you say, is gay, right?
She has a lot of gay supporters.
She has a large gay fan base.
And I think a lot of people are disappointed about that. Also because Beyoncé didn't perform any songs from that new album in Dubai.
That's pretty telling, isn't it?
It's very telling.
You wonder whether it's a precondition of the deal that they struck. That, you know, Dubai is an oil-rich country. It's, you know, it's they have the money. They can put some conditions on it. When you pay someone $24 million, you can say, hey, we want to hear the classics. We don't want to hear this new stuff. You can frame it in such a way that you're not saying, don't play your LGBT music, but please play
even
some hits from
weird,
Destiny's Child.
Because a lot of artists, you know, when it's like, oh, it's time for our new album. Those are artists who don't have hits anymore.
Right.
This new album's already produced a number one song and another top 10. Cuff It is like a huge viral hit that's gone top 10. Break My Soul was a number one hit. It's not like it would be, you know, head to the bathroom or the bar when she plays the new stuff.
That's right.
Those are hits you want to hear.
So it's conspicuous that they are absent from her set, which I think was around 90 minutes. Look, on a per minute basis, she's making a killing. But as you said, Beyonce's reputation is a valuable thing. Remember we talk about, you know, who insures their legs for $100 million?
Yeah.
It's because these, you know, Beyonce is a commodity. Beyonce is
a valuable brand.
And when she messes with her legacy in any way, by going to Dubai and having, you know, her gay fans say, hey, what are you doing? Are you supporting a regime that doesn't extend rights to LGBTQ people?
That makes it criminal.
It's a problem. Right. And here's my take on this, though. And I think it's conspicuous that she left out the songs that are supportive of those issues. I don't think these things stick. I think she did calculate this. And does that make it better or not? Did she say, look, there's going to be some backlash, but $24 million is a lot of money. I know she's a billionaire, but it's a lot of money, even to a billionaire. And it does. It is hard to turn down that money. And she might have said, as performers in the past, J-Lo, Bieber, who have gone and performed overseas for various colorful despots and people with track records that are less than savory. Let's just say that.
Right.
They've done this and they've survived it and they've pocketed the money. They've taken the backlash for 24 to 48 hours, maybe even a week of bad press, but then it's over. And I think Beyonce made that calculation.
And this is already not bad press. So, you know, within the community, so there's a trans activist named T.S. Madison. We spoke to her on TMZ Live and she's fine with it. Is what she had to say.
Yeah.
Everybody that loves Beyonce and everybody that knows that Beyonce loves the community and not just loves the community. She dedicated an entire album, which is like the album of the year, and, you know, to her fans, to the people that she loved. So I personally saw it as she went and got her bag. Any one of those girls would put on their wig, hair, makeup, lashes, and run right over there to the Atlantis Hotel and gather their $35 million and come right on back home and instill the same love for her fans. I'm not mad at her getting her money. It's not, she didn't wave anti-LGBTQIA flag.
Yeah. The nature of this argument is Beyonce is not the United Arab Emirates. She's not a representative of them. She is a hired person who got $24 million to perform a gig, and she's not representative of their brand. She's representative of her own brand. I don't necessarily buy that. I'll be honest with you. I think when you take money from unsavory sources, it does taint you in some way.
A little bit.
She could say, I'm over there to spread love, but she would have had to play a few songs from this album.
What her dad said. Matthew Knowles says that she's just bringing diverse cultures together.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting. Like, you watch clips from it.
Why didn't she demand to play the songs from the new album?
Exactly. And there's clips from the concert where she says, you know, she speaks directly to black and brown women in the audience. And, you know, it's sort of an empowering message for women of color. So what if Dubai is like, oh, you know what? Being black's illegal here. And, you know, we're not going to, you know, like, would she have been okay with that?
Yeah. I mean,
that's sort of a ridiculous premise, but you know what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you're saying. The problem with Beyonce is if she compromised.
The problem with Beyonce, I'm going to step back and let you say, that was Derek that said that, by the way.
The problem is, during the course of this deal for $24 million, she clearly made some compromises by not singing songs. Who knows what else she compromised on? Maybe her performance included some, you know, male dancers dancing with each other in erotic fashion, female dancers. I don't know. I don't know to what extent she was willing to bend on her principles in order to secure the bag. And now, look, it's helpful that a lot of people who are saying, you know, having someone, T.S. Madison, who's a trans activist,
right,
say, I think it's okay. She secured the bag. I'm cool with it. She's not Dubai. She is Beyonce, and she has her values in the right place. She just wanted to make $24 million. That's helpful, but I'm still allowed to question it.
I will disagree with, like, oh, she got paid. That makes it okay. So if Beyonce performed at a Trump rally, her fans would be totally okay with that. As long as she got paid, it's
right.
All right.
Where does it end?
Where's the line?
Where do you draw those
and,
lines?
But I think people have drawn the line here for the most part. I think the majority of her fans are totally fine with it. And even because Beyonce is brilliant at what she does, as Matthew Knowles and her mother Tina have pointed out, well, this was just the practice run for her tour that's coming this year. She hasn't toured in years, like a huge tour. So this just makes people like, I really want to go see her.
I know. It's
just drumming up interest.
It's a very fraught issue. Look, I think Beyonce wouldn't perform at a Trump rally where his hate-filled rhetoric is front and center. But if Trump ran a benefit for the survivors of an earthquake disaster, which is undeniably a good thing, and you could see a former president raising money for disaster relief, but he comes with all the baggage, even though he's not putting that front and center at that event, I still think Beyonce wouldn't go to it. That's the Dubai situation.
And that's not the Dubai situation. This was just for the Atlantis hosting it. This wasn't like a charity event at all.
Fair.
This wasn't to raise money for anything else.
It wasn't an anti-LGBTQ event where they were putting those issues front and center and said, hey, Beyonce, come sing at this event. That is just who their culture is, and this was separate from that. But it's not really separate. That's what I have an issue with, is she does have to take these things into account. She pays managers, she pays publicists to make sure you can sidestep and navigate very difficult issues, because as an ambassador, she's going to be tarred with some of these things when she goes out.
Yeah, but you can be offended because you're not going to go see your tour anyway, right?
That's right. Neil Diamond would never do such a thing, I'll tell you that much. That'll do it for us. We'll see you guys next time.